News Talk 94.9 WSJM. You are listening to Our Take. Thanks for tuning in. I am the host today. My name is Andrew Green. Glad to be with you. This is the show where we discuss issues that have been playing out in the news around Michigan's Great Southwest. Things you have been hearing about on WSJM News, we discuss them more in depth on Our Take. We chat with local members of school boards, city commissions. We talk with our state lawmakers. We talk with the organizers of events like festivals. Occasionally, we check in with our congressman to find out what's going on in Washington. Congress is now back at work today. Same goes for the state legislature. So I'm expecting the news cycle to get a little more busy around these parts, which is a good thing. Now that summer is pretty much over, we're just now coming off of Labor Day weekend. I hope you had a great Labor Day weekend. I hope you did something interesting and fun with the kids before they had to go back to school. Back to school day today for a lot of kids. I spent the weekend on the east side of the state visiting with my mother and my sister and my brother-in-law and my two-year-old niece, and that was fun. And so here I am back at work. And we have a busy show today on Our Take. Busy show lined up. First of all, we're going to talk with Berrien County Treasurer Brett Witkowski. Late last month, the county held its land auction for the summer. They hold two land auctions each year where the Berrien County Treasurer's Office will auction off properties that have been foreclosed around Berrien County each year. And there's always a few hundred of them. These are foreclosures which occur because the property owner did not pay their property taxes for a period of 3 years. Every so often, the county auctions off all these properties that are just sitting in the land bank. And so they held one on the 22nd, and it went fairly well. So I chatted with Berrien County Treasurer Brett Witkowski. We'll find out about that auction, when the next auction will be, and related matters. Also, coming up on today's show, we'll check in with the Cook plant. We talked to them just last week about some big equipment that's being moved around. Well, this week, coming up on today's show, we'll chat with a Cook plant representative about their emergency siren tests, which are started this week. And they'll be testing all the Cook sirens, the county's emergency sirens, which there are more than 70 of them. We'll find out about those tests, how that works, how you know it's just a test and not a real emergency and all that. We'll get an update on that program coming up on today's show. And then finally on today's show, we'll check in with Michigan State Police about a run and walk they have scheduled for next week. Next Monday, they will be doing a police torch run around the St. Joe area. We will find out about that coming up on today's edition of Our Take. And if you would like to weigh in on something that we have discussed here on Our Take, all you have to do is send us an email. The address is ourtake@wsjm.com. That's O-U-R-T-A-K-E @wsjm.com. We'd love to hear from you if you have an opinion on something that's come up, or if you'd like to suggest a topic, send us an email. We are all ears, or I should say all eyes, waiting for an email to come in with your thoughts. Right now, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, as promised, we'll chat with the Berrien County Treasurer about last month's land auction. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take. I am the host today. My name is Andrew Green. Thanks for tuning in. We're going to take a quick break. Stick around, and we will be right back. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. You are listening to Our Take. Thanks for tuning in. I am the host. My name is Andrew Green. Glad to be with you today. This is the show where we get in-depth looks at issues that have been playing out in the news around Michigan's Great Southwest, or around our fair state of Michigan, or around these fair United States. And coming up in a few minutes, we'll chat with the Berrien County Treasurer about the most recent land auction. We'll talk about what that is, how it went. You may have heard it went pretty well. They raised more than $1 million last month. It was on the 22nd when they auctioned off more than 100 properties. We'll get some details about that from our county treasurer in just a couple of minutes. First, though, you may have heard over the weekend, President Trump, the White House announced President Trump was going to be sort of phasing out the executive order, which created what's known as the Dreamer program. This is a program for undocumented individuals who are in the United States who have been here since childhood. So we're talking about somebody who was brought over here as a child illegally, but they've lived here ever since, and they've spent their entire lives living in the United States. The Obama administration created this program, DACA, or the Dreamer program, for these individuals that allowed them to stay legally in the United States, because these are people who have lived in the United States all their lives. They're just your standard Americans. It just happens they're not exactly legal. So anyway, under the Obama administration's DACA program, these folks got to stay, and then President Trump throughout the campaign was promising he'd eliminate that first thing. Well, he didn't first thing, but over the weekend it was announced he was going to phase it out in 6 months and leave it up to Congress to pass legislation to replace the DACA program. A lot of people, including a lot of Republicans, think it's a decent program that should be allowed to stay. And, mostly moderate Republicans. And speaking of which, our Congressman Fred Upton this morning issued a statement on the DACA program, Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals Program, as it's called. He issued a statement, which I will read to you in its entirety right here, so we can get a sense of what our man in Washington, Fred Upton, is thinking about this. I'm actually supposed to chat with him this week, and I'm going to ask him about the program more. But this is what Fred Upton has to say about the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program. Fred Upton writes, quote, "For these young men and women, the United States is their home. They've been raised in our neighborhoods, attended our schools, served in our military, and worked in our communities. I've met with countless concerned individuals impacted by DACA and heard from local universities, restaurants, and small business owners, as well as my farmer friends, who all agree we must take care of these folks. This is why I've long supported using a compassionate but accountable way to legislatively address these undocumented minors brought to our country through no fault of their own." Congressman Upton continues, quote, "Rather than executive order, it is the responsibility of Congress to work together on fair, rigorous, and bipartisan legislation that addresses the long-term uncertainty facing these young people. To that end, I have already co-sponsored two bills that represent common-sense ways to address DACA. In the coming weeks and months, I will continue to work with anyone to fix our long-broken immigration system and to give certainty to dreamers who know no country but America." End quote. That was Congressman Fred Upton's statement on Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program, otherwise known as DACA, otherwise known as the Dreamers program. Fred says he thinks that there should be legislation that enables these individuals who have been here pretty much their entire lives to stay. So we will get more details on that this week from our man in Washington, Congressman Fred Upton. I'm supposed to talk to him this week. So no doubt we will chat about DACA and what he thinks Congress might be able to do and when. And we'll hear more about that this week. So right now, it's looking like at least some members of Congress, including our Fred Upton, are in favor of a legislative solution to this issue. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. You're listening to Our Take. And as promised, on this segment, we're going to talk with Berrien County Treasurer Brett Witkowski. In fact, we're going to hear that conversation now. Earlier, actually last month, it's September now, but last month, Berrien County held its land auction, the first one of the year. They do two of them each year, to sell off foreclosed properties. It is Berrien County Treasurer Brett Witkowski's job to keep track of all these properties on which their owners have not been paying taxes. And if a property owner fails to pay their property taxes for three straight years, the county treasurer has to foreclose on this property. And then later on, the property goes up for auction at the county treasurer's land auction. And last month they held the first one. It went quite well. They sold a lot of properties. There will be another one in October. We'll hear about that. So I've chatted with Berrien County Treasurer Brett Witkowski about that. I caught up with him after last month's land auction. Let's hear that conversation now. All right, Brett, thanks for being with us. So you just held the auction. Now it sounds like it went pretty well.
It went very well. Very fortunately, 168 bidders. They paid $1.1 million in back taxes. And the beauty of it was we sold 40% of properties at the first auction, which is a record since the Great Recession. Usually we're selling about 40% or 25%.
Okay, so any particular reasons for that you can identify?
I really couldn't tell you. Just was very busy. Best way to describe it.
All right, so at last month's land auction, you had 163 bidders, just under 90 properties sold.
Correct, out of 220.
So what happens to the ones that didn't sell?
Those will come back in October, start at $50.
All right, so the land auction raised $1.1 million, and that goes back into the county foreclosure fund, correct?
That'll be used to pay the back taxes to the tax delinquent fund, and then the excess will be used for the 29 to 30 demos that we have.
All right, of all the properties that sold at the most recent auction, any stand out?
We had quite a few in the 60 to 70, 80,000 range that were in Chickamauga and, Chickamauga Township, St. Joe City were the ones that got quite a bit, and one in Bertrand, too, Bertrand Township.
What was the St. Joe City one?
Not St. Joe City, it was Royalton Township and Niles Road. That one for, I think, 75,000. It was a house.
All right, and a big property is the former Mercy Hospital property in Benton Harbor. That was up for auction last month, but it didn't sell.
It was up for auction, correct.
What was the minimum bid on that one?
$320,000.
So what happens with the Mercy Hospital property now?
No one bid on it. It will not be in the auction in October. We will work with our land bank. We will work with the city of Benton Harbor to find a suitable buyer for that. But we're not going to put it in the $50 land auction.
All right. That was Berrien County Treasurer Brett Witkowski after a very long day holding their county land auction last month. The county sold more than 80 properties. They raised more than $1.1 million selling off all these foreclosed properties. We ended there by talking about one of the biggest, well, the biggest one that was on the list, the Mercy Hospital property in Benton Harbor. As you know, that Mercy Hospital was torn down last year. It cost the county more than $1 million to tear down that building. And so the $1 million they had to spend on that, at least some of that has been raised back with the most recent land auction. $1.1 million in sales. Brett was telling us they usually hope for about 25% of the properties to sell in the first property auction of the summer, of the year. Things that did not sell on the 22nd will go into the October auction with starting bids of just $50. And on the auction block, of course, Mercy Hospital will not be in October. They had a minimum bid for Mercy Hospital of $320,000 last month. No one stepped up to purchase that property. There are big hopes for the Mercy Hospital property in Benton Harbor right there on Pipestone. It's a prime piece of land. One great use for it, I think, would be a grocery store. If they could get some kind of supermarket in there. To me, that would be perfect, but who knows? So the county is now looking for a buyer for this property. They're working with the city on that. They want to find a good owner for the former Mercy Hospital property. Anyway, most of the properties that get auctioned off are just residential plots of land. Oftentimes, the buildings on them are dilapidated and have to be torn down. That's your responsibility if you buy some property in the Berrien County land auction at any given time. But last month's auction, more than $1.1 million raised for the county. And Berrien County Treasurer Brett Witkowski was pleased with those results. News Talk 94.9 WSJM, this is Our Take, the show where we get in-depth looks at things playing out in the news around Michigan's Great Southwest. And just an advisory here from AAA. School has started up again in Michigan in most places. Kids in Hartford aren't back in school yet, but that's an entirely separate issue. Most schools now back in session. Children going back to school for the year now that Labor Day is over. 55 million children across the country begin the school year today. AAA has issued a statewide message urging drivers to slow down and stay alert in their neighborhoods and school zones. They want you to be especially vigilant for pedestrians during and after and before school hours. The afternoon hours are especially dangerous for kids who are walking home from school. In the past decade, nearly one-third of child pedestrian fatalities happened between 3 and 7 p.m. So AAA has issued a Schools Open, Drive Carefully awareness message. They've launched an awareness campaign. They started it in 1946. They want to reduce the number of school-related pedestrian injuries and fatalities. And AAA tells us, in 2015, more than 343 child pedestrians were killed and 11,000 injured nationwide. In 2016, 15 child pedestrians between the ages of 15 and 18 years old died, and 69 were injured just here in Michigan. So now that school is back in session, you've got to get back into the groove of driving carefully. Remember, those kids will be out and about. They're on their way to school in the morning. They're on their way home after school. You've got to be careful. And also, mind the school buses. You've got to mind your P's and Q's when you're driving around a school bus. Don't pass a bus. Certainly don't pass one if it's got its flashing lights on or its stop sign extended there. You will get a hefty ticket for violating the rules of the road when you are around a school bus. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take. We are going to take a quick break right now. When we come back, we will check in with the Cook Nuclear Power Plant down in Bridgman. They are conducting some siren tests this week. We're going to learn about that, what you need to know, coming up after a quick break. And if you would like to weigh in on something we've discussed here on Our Take, send us an email. The address is ourtake@wsjm.com. That's O-U-R-T-A-K-E at wsjm.com. Stick around and we will be right back. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take. Thanks for tuning in here on Our Take each weekday during the 4 o'clock hour. We get in-depth looks at things playing out in the news around Michigan's Great Southwest. Whatever you've heard about on WSJM News as of late, whatever you've seen in the town crier wire, we'll get more in-depth looks at those things here on Our Take. And we chat with the organizers of local events. We talk with our congressmen when possible. We talk with our state lawmakers. We want to find out what's going on, and we want to find out from the people who are in the thick of it. And if you'd like to weigh in on something that we discuss here on Our Take, all you have to do is send us an email. The address is ourtake@wsjm.com. That's O-U-R-T-A-K-E at wsjm.com. So far on today's show, first we heard about this Dreamers program, the DACA program that President Trump is intending to phase out. Congressman Fred Upton issued a statement about it this morning, and he's on board with coming up with a legislative solution to this. Fred says we shouldn't send these dreamers, people who have spent their whole lives living in America, back to wherever they're from. We should have a legislative way. We should have a system in place to make sure these individuals are not just getting sent back to some country they don't know. So Fred's on board with having legislation created in Congress to do this. The president essentially said that's what he's hoping will happen. We'll see if it actually happens. We know Congress has had some trouble getting any sort of significant legislation passed as of late. But Fred is hopeful. Also on today's show, we chatted with the county treasurer. We heard about the land auction, which took place last month. They raised more than $1 million selling off these foreclosed properties. Brett Witkowski, county treasurer, he runs the auction, standing up there sort of serving as the auctioneer for this at the dock each year. It's a long day for him. And so the county's auction last month raised more than $1 million, and it went quite well for the county. And the treasurer was pleased and satisfied with that. Right now, for this segment of Our Take, I wanted to check in with the Cook Nuclear Power Plant. Now, last week we chatted with Cook spokesperson Bill Shulk about this equipment that they had to move around. The last couple of weeks, you may have noticed that in the middle of the night, these convoys coming from the Cook plant moving massive pieces of equipment to the harbor in St. Joe. Well, that's what we had to discuss last week with the Cook plant's Bill Shulk. This week is something different. The Cook plant is doing its siren tests. Every year they have to test all these sirens. The Cook plant owns 70 sirens that are stationed all over Berrien County in strategic areas. And Berrien County, the county actually runs the emergency alert system, the emergency management system, to issue things like tornado warnings, sounding the sirens when there's some sort of an emergency so people know to take cover or to get out of Dodge, whichever the situation might be. And the Cook plant is now testing its 70 sirens. They do this each year. They have to test all the sirens to make sure all of them work properly. So I caught up with the Cook plant spokesperson, Bill Shulk, to hear about these emergency siren tests. Let's hear that conversation now. All right, Bill. So this week, the Cook plant has started to test its sirens. Tell us how this works.
Once every year, we have to individually test our sirens. I think people are familiar with the first Saturday of the month test, where we sound all of the sirens at once and then check that response. But once a year, we have to go and get sound levels on each individual siren. So that's going to be happening the first 3 weeks in September. And people will hear a siren in their area possibly go off 3 to 4 times for about 30 seconds. And what we're doing is taking various sound level adjustments to make sure that we get the proper coverage through the whole area.
All right, and this is how many different sirens?
We've got 70 sirens within the 10-mile radius of the Cook plant.
All right, and can you tell us a little bit about how it, Cook sort of owns the sirens but doesn't necessarily operate them?
The sirens in Berrien County are Cook plant sirens, but they're actually operated by the Berrien County Sheriff's Department. So they have access to them in the much more likely event of a weather-related emergency or industrial accident or chemical spill or that type of thing. So there are sirens, Cook plant sirens, but the Berrien County Emergency Management folks actually do the activation of them.
All right, and so the Cook plant, as it tests the sirens throughout the next few weeks, what's going to be different about these tests as opposed to what would happen in an actual emergency?
In the event of a real emergency, the sirens would go off for about 3 to 5 minutes. On a regular Saturday test, they go off for about a minute, but we're trying to avoid confusion. So for these individual tests, they're going to go off for a shorter period, maybe a couple times, but they will only go off for about 30 seconds.
All right, and the Cook plant has to do these tests every year.
We have to take sound tests on every siren once a year. So we do that during this period here in September. And if there is actually some sort of a poor weather or other type of activity going on, we won't do any testing. But for the most part, they'll be going on through regular business hours for these first 3 weeks in September.
All right, so the Cook plant's testing 70 different sirens all over the county in the next 3 weeks.
Yeah, we're trying to get the word out because, rightfully so, when people hear sirens, they wonder what's going on, as they should, even on a short blast like something that's 30 seconds. But what we don't want to do is have a bunch of people call Berrien County 911 or clog those types of systems to be unnecessarily alarmed. So we're trying to get the word out so people understand that if they do hear a short blast of a siren in their area in the next 3 weeks, then that they can know that it's a test rather than an actual emergency.
Okay, that was the Cook plant spokesperson Bill Schalk talking with us about the testing they're doing starting this week on the Cook plant's the sirens, the emergency sirens, which are stationed all over the county of Berrien. And you'll know that it's just a test because they'll sound the sirens for something like 30 seconds a few different times. If there was a real emergency going on, the sirens would blare for 3 to 5 straight minutes. So, just remember, in order to know that it's a real emergency, that siren has to stay on for several minutes. If you hear that, that's the point at which you either want to take cover or get on a Dodge. Consult your radio or your television to find out details about what the exact emergency is. But anyway, the Cook plant, starting this week, they're testing out all those sirens they've got stationed all over the county. That'll be going on for the next 3 weeks. The testing will take place Monday through Friday between 8 a.m. and 6 p.m. during the three-week period, which started today. So they're not going to sound those sirens at 3 in the morning or anything. 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. And if there's a storm or something going on, they won't test the sirens because, well, when there's an actual storm taking place, they want to keep the sirens available for actual emergencies and not confuse people. So that's what's happening at the Cook plant. They are testing their sirens for the next few weeks. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take. Thanks for tuning in. This is the Tuesday edition. I keep thinking it's Monday, but it's Tuesday. And something which did happen yesterday, which was Monday, on Labor Day, was the annual Mackinac Bridge Walk. Every Labor Day, thousands of people descend onto the Mackinac Bridge, way up there in the Straits of Mackinac, to walk the nearly five-mile span, which connects Michigan's upper and lower peninsulas. And so the Mackinac Bridge Authority sort of helps run this annual Labor Day tradition. This was the 60th year for the Mackinac Bridge Walk, and the bridge walk was different this year because the Mackinac Bridge Authority and Michigan State Police, they shut down traffic on the bridge. No traffic was allowed on the bridge during the hours of the bridge walk. So that was from 6:30 a.m. to noon yesterday. No vehicles could cross the Mackinac Bridge, and that was for security reasons. And I fully support that. Much better to implement these security measures before they're needed than to wait until they become necessary. So for the first time ever, the Mackinac Bridge Walk had traffic shut down. And according to the Mackinac Bridge Authority, as well as the Michigan State Police, everything went swimmingly. It looks like the effort to get the word out about these traffic changes worked because state police say everything went relatively smoothly. There was a backup, obviously, on the bridge. Heading north on I-75 as a result. And state police out of the Gaylord Post were trying to keep people informed about what was going on. And the Michigan Secretary of State's office helped. I know that as I drove across the state on Saturday morning to make it to the east side, I saw billboards from MDOT reminding people about the Mackinac Bridge traffic changes. You had to be practically trying to keep yourself uninformed if you weren't aware of the traffic changes for the bridge walk yesterday. Between 30,000 and 60,000 people show up for that walk each year. And the Mackinac Bridge Authority has issued an estimate, actually, looking at the Associated Press here. They say about 25,000 people showed up for the bridge walk. Normally, they get 30,000 to 60,000, so attendance was down this year. So only 25,000 people took part in the walk. It went fine enough, and those people were braver than I. I'm too much of a fraidy cat to walk across that bridge. 5 miles long? No thanks. I don't want to drive over the bridge. But anyway, the bridge walk went smoothly yesterday. They had no problems. News Talk 94.9, WSJM, this is Our Take. We are going to take a quick break here. Earlier on today's show, we got Congressman Fred Upton's thoughts on the president's decision to phase out this Dreamers program. Fred wants to see legislation to replace it. We also checked in with the Berrien County Treasurer's Office to hear about how last month's land auction went. And just a minute ago, we talked to the Cook Plant's Bill Shulk about the siren tests that they're doing starting this week. Coming up for the next segment and final segment of today's Our Take, we'll chat with Michigan State Police about a torch run that they have planned. Law enforcement agencies from all over Berrien County are going to take part in this run that are going to hold next Monday, and you can show up and be among the individuals who take part in this run. We'll find out about that. And if you'd like to weigh in on something we discuss on Our Take, send us an email. The address is ourtake@wsjm.com. That's O-U-R-T-A-K-E at wsjm.com. I am your host today. My name is Andrew Green. Time for a quick break. Stick around. We will be right back. News Talk 94.9 WSJM, you are listening to Our Take. Thanks for tuning in. This is the show where we get in-depth looks at things that you have heard about previously on WSJM News. Whatever you hear about on our news station, we'll talk more in-depth about those things here on Our Take. Earlier today, we talked a little bit about President Trump's decision to phase out this Dreamers program. Congressman Fred Upton issued a statement this morning about that, saying he wants to see a legislative replacement for it. And we'll chat with Fred about that a little more coming up on an edition of the show this week. We also checked in with the Berrien County Treasurer's Office to hear about how the most recent land auction went. It went pretty well. They raised $1.1 million. They sold nearly 90 properties. So the county treasurer was satisfied with how the land auction went this time around. And last segment, we talked to the Cook Plant, a spokesperson for the Cook Nuclear Power Plant down in Bridgman, to learn about the siren testing. They're testing their sirens starting this week, so do not be alarmed if you hear those sirens going off. Anyway, for this segment, to close out the show, I wanted to learn about a law enforcement torch run, which is planned for next week. It's the third annual Berrien County Area Law Enforcement Torch Run. Michigan State Police, they sort of organize it around here. State Police Lieutenant Melinda Logan is the person I chatted with about this run and walk that's coming up. And they're going to raise money for the Special Olympics of Michigan. This will be next week. It's actually on Monday, September 11th. Everyone is invited to take part. And they'll be doing this walk in St. Joe over by Silver Beach and the Whirlpool Fountain. Well, I've chatted with Michigan State Police Lieutenant Melinda Logan about this. Let's hear that conversation now. All right, Lieutenant, tell us a little bit more about next week's torch run.
Each year, we hold a local run for the Special Olympics of Michigan to help celebrate and support the Special Olympic athletes.
All right, and I take it the first couple of runs have gone well?
This is our third year, so we're working on bringing in more and more people. Last year, we actually had Lake Michigan Catholic High School came, one of their classrooms, and all the students walked with the athletes, and we had many different police agencies that were involved and law enforcement partners that came and helped supported by being part of that daily event.
All right, and anyone can take part in this torch run next week. You don't have to be a police officer, and you are taking registrations right now.
We are. We're taking registrations. It's $25 to participate that day and to get a T-shirt. You know, we'd enjoy it if you could do that early and get that done, but there will be paper registrations on the day of the event, which is registration occurs right at the band shell in St. Joseph up on the bluff.
All right, and which police departments are going to take part in this torch run?
Last year, the state police, the sheriff's department, St. Joseph City, Benton Township Police Department, Michigan Department of Corrections, probation from Berrien County, the prosecutor's office were all involved in the walk. I'm sure I'm missing a couple, but I apologize if I did. But the walk starts at the band shell. We normally kick it off from some of our local politicians, and then we take the route right along the bluff in St. Joseph, down Park Street, around by Silver Beach, and we end at the fountain. So it's approximately 1 mile. Some athletes run and others walk. The biggest part is to bring awareness and help support the kids with Special Olympics and the ones that are participating.
All right, and why support the Special Olympics?
The Michigan State Police supports one nonprofit organization, and that's the Special Olympics. We really try to help protect people who can't protect themselves. And we also enjoy the excitement and love for life that many of the athletes have. The other big factor in supporting for many of the local people here in St. Joseph, Benton Harbor area, is that Special Olympics, their overhead doesn't use much of the money that is earned. Most of the money that's earned goes towards the proceeds to help the athletes and their families. So you can really be comfortable that that money is being used for the intent instead of high over or expenses or over cost for any type of administrative functions.
Great. So it sounds like the event grows a little bit each year, and it's been going well for you the last couple of years?
Yes, exactly. We're hoping to get more and more schools involved. We hope to bring in some of the kids that could benefit from this and build a relationship between law enforcement or just the community. It does not have to be law enforcement. It can be anybody from the community can come down and show their support. And the more we grow, maybe the more we can expand the route for people that really want to go a longer distance than just the 1 mile.
All right. And, 1 mile, that's not too hard. That's pretty much anybody could do this.
Yes, that's correct. Every year I've been walking it in my uniform, but we do have some people that take that real quick jog. And luckily we go downhill on Park Street instead of up. So that makes it a lot easier as well.
All right. We're talking with Michigan State Police Lieutenant Melinda Logan. She's telling us about the law enforcement torch run set for next Monday in St. Joseph. Lieutenant, anything else you want to tell us about this run and walk taking place next week?
I just hope that everybody comes out. It would be great to have a very large crowd and have some more kids that could also be part of it. We also know that this is not only a day that kids would typically be in school, but then we also understand this is the anniversary of September 11th on the same day. So there's a lot of events, but it definitely is going to be worth your while if you come on down and help join us for, it's just an hour. 10 a.m. is registration. That's when it begins. And 11 a.m., we will begin the route.
All right. That was Michigan State Police Lieutenant Melinda Logan talking with us about a torch run and walk set for next week. It is the third annual Berrien County Law Enforcement Torch Run. Michigan State Police Lieutenant Melinda Logan tells us the run and walk in St. Joe it's about 1 mile. It is to raise money for the Special Olympics. They want you to sign up to take part. We do have a registration link posted at WSJM.com, so you can register there if you'd like to take part. You can also just show up on the day of the walk and take part and raise money for the Special Olympics. And several law enforcement agencies from all over Berrien County will be there this week. And so that should be a lot of fun next week, next Monday, September the 11th. It starts at 11 in the a.m. at the band shell. It goes to Silver Beach, over to the Whirlpool Fountain below the bluff. And that is what's taking place next week in St. Joseph. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take. We are wrapping up another edition of the show. Thanks for tuning in. I am the host today. My name is Andrew Green. On today's show, we talked about President Trump's decision to eliminate this Dreamers program. Congressman Fred Upton issued a statement saying he thinks Congress needs to approve legislation that could replace that program. So we'll hear more about that later on this week when we chat with Congressman Upton. Also on today's show, we talked with the Berrien County Treasurer about last month's land auction in which the county raised more than $1 million for the foreclosure fund. Every year, the Berrien County Treasurer's Office auctions off foreclosed properties, and you can scoop up some prime real estate for bargain prices if you show up to these land auctions. The next one will be in October. We'll keep you posted on that as that date gets closer. And then just now we talked with Michigan State Police Lieutenant Melinda Logan about the law enforcement torch run and walk, which is happening on Monday in St. Joe downtown. Coming up on tomorrow's show, we will check in with the Mackinac Center for Public Policy. They are pleased with the trend that they've seen recently with schools in Michigan. More school districts are privatizing various services like transportation and food service and all that. More school districts privatizing those things. And so the Mackinac Center for Public Policy says that's a good thing. I caught up with them and found out why. Also tomorrow, we'll talk with the Van Buren District Library and find out about a push they're making this month to recruit more kids, get more kids signed up for library cards. They're making a big push this month. We'll hear about that coming up on tomorrow's Our Take. And finally tomorrow, we'll check in with the Berrien County Sheriff's Department to hear about back-to-school safety. We talked a little bit about that today. With kids back in school, drivers are being reminded to mind their P's and Q's. And I have gotten some sort of in-depth information on all that from the Berrien County Sheriff's Department. We'll have that on tomorrow's Our Take. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. That does it for another edition of Our Take. I have been the host. My name is Andrew Green. If you would like to weigh in on something that we have discussed, just send us an email, why don't you? The address is ourtake@wsjm.com. That's O-U-R-T-A-K-E at WSJM.com. Thanks for tuning in. We will be back tomorrow, same time, same station. Until then, you have a fantastic rest of your Tuesday.